Welcome to the HSD podcast series. I'm your host today, Laura Franco, Vice President, Director of Post-Acute Regulatory Strategy. Today, I'm joined by Jennifer Lamb, RN, MBA, and mock surveyor for Life Care Services. And we're going to be talking about the new FTAG numbering system and all the regulations that are contained in each of those FTAGs. Our goal for this program is to really help you understand the FTAGs fully. So when the surveyors begin implementing them and surveying on them on November 28th of this year, 2017, we'll be ready. So today we're going to tackle the new FTAG number 559, which is choose/be notified of room/or roommate change. So it's all about notification to residents. So I'd like to say welcome, Jennifer.
Thanks, Laura. I'm happy to be here to share more information about the new FTAGs and how our communities can be ready for their state surveys.
Wonderful, wonderful. And Jennifer, since this is a series of podcasts that we're doing on the new FTAGs, can you tell our listeners what they might expect to get out of this entire series?
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to be covering one FTAG per podcast, and these are the ones that are contained under the 49 tags identified under substandard quality of care. Substandard quality of care is defined by CMS as having more than one deficiency related to participation requirements under resident behavior and facility practices, quality of care, and quality of care that consists either, constitutes either immediate jeopardy to resident health and safety, a pattern of or widespread actual harm that is not immediate jeopardy, or a widespread potential for more than minimal harm, but less than immediate jeopardy with no actual harm. We're going to be using the SOM or the State Operations Manual, Appendix PP, the guidance to surveyors for long-term care facilities that will be effective on November 28th, 2017. This is the exact same SOM that the surveyors use or actually will be using come that date. Right now they're using the old one, but we're using the language in the new. And this way you can have the same tool that they have so that you can learn as much as the surveyors do and be prepared for that state survey.
So in today's topic, Jennifer, we're really talking about where our residents live. And that's one of the most important things to everyone. The room is actually their home, and it's very personal. And who they live with is a very personal topic too. So let's really jump right in and talk about F559 and what that means.
Okay. Well, Laura, F559 says that the resident has the right to share a room with his or her spouse when married residents live in the same facility and both spouses consent to the arrangement. The right to share a room with his or her roommate of choice when practicable, and when both residents live in the same facility and both residents consent to the arrangement. The right to receive written notice, including the reason for any changes, before the resident's room or roommate in the facility is changed.
So who would be allowed to be a roommate under FTAG 559?
It would be whomever the resident wishes to be roommates with, as long as it is with both residents' consent. The arrangements can be opposite sex and same-sex married couples or domestic partners, could even be siblings or even friends.
So could a married couple make the choice not to reside together in the same room?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been in several communities where married couples do opt not to live together. I've had one lady say, we've been together a long, long time, and I think I want to rest. So I thought that was kind of funny. So to her, it was a nice change, a nice rest to be able to say, okay, honey, love you, but I'm going back to my room now.
Right. So on that same token, then, can a resident demand that they no longer like their roommate and they want their roommate to move out?
No, they cannot make that demand that a current roommate be moved in order to accommodate somebody else. They would absolutely have. I mean, if there's a conflict between the two, chances are, I mean, if they really aren't getting along, they probably would mutually agree to just split ways. And if there's another accommodation available, they can do that.
Okay. So also, as I understood it from this FTAG, that the payer or the room that the room is certified for. You can't change that. So if a facility is doesn't have a Medicare certified bed, and the resident is a different payer source, that they can't use that for that room. Is that, am I saying that correctly?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely right. Yes. Okay. It would be like they can't take a Medicare bed and put somebody else in it that's not Medicare and vice versa. They wouldn't be able to do that.
Okay. Okay. Super. So let's talk for a minute about changes in room or roommate that are made by the facility, because sometimes it might not be the resident requesting a change, but perhaps the facility wants to make a change for one reason or another. And I'm assuming that they can.
Yes, Laura, you're right. When a facility needs to make a room change, the facility needs to take into account the needs of the residents. I think that you would agree that making changes isn't easy, and moving is one of the number one stressful changes that a person can make. I literally just moved myself, and so it's definitely a stressful thing. And, you know, when it's something that is not because you want to, that makes it even more stressful. So with that in mind, when a resident is asked to move to another room or change roommates, the facility is required to inform the resident in writing of why the move is required. And the resident should be given an opportunity to see the new location, meet a new roommate, and ask questions about that move.
What about the case where a resident is receiving a new roommate? What kind of notification do we need to give them?
The resident should get as much advanced notice as possible whenever they're receiving a new roommate. It's a big change to go from one person to another, and so they do need to have as much time as possible. There's not really a set amount of time. It's just what would be good for that resident.
So if someone new is coming into is moving in for some reason or another into someone's already existing room, what would the staff need to do before moving that new resident into that room?
Well, there would need to be as much advance notice to the resident that's already living there to let them know, by the way, you're going to get a new roommate. And a lot of times this happens when a resident's roommate has passed away. That's especially hard for a resident. Just going from having it when you have nobody in your room with you to then having somebody, maybe not as much notice, but when they have had somebody that they've gotten close to and then that person passes away, we need, as staff members, we need to be supportive of the resident and allow them time to adjust to the fact that not only did they lose a roommate, but they've lost literally a friend and possibly a family member. And so we need to give that length of time of adjustment for them to be ready for a new roommate. And that's going to vary depending upon the resident.
Well, that's a good point, because that's when we need to provide social services, especially if the resident is grieving at that point also. Yeah, that would help ease that that transition into a new roommate.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so when we're looking at FTAG 559, what's the difference between this tag and what the old tags were in the state operations manual? And I believe those two were F-175 and F-247.
Yes. F-559 is a combination of language that's found in F-175 that says the resident has a right to live with their spouse when both consent and both live in the facility. And it also addressed the resident's right to live with a roommate of his or her choice. F-247 addressed the right to receive written notice, giving the reason for a change in room and roommate. So basically, 559 took both of those tags and then expanded it to include couples who were of the same sex and domestic partners. The tag also speaks to the limitations of those changes, as we talked about earlier in the podcast.
So what can the facility staff do to ensure that they're in compliance with this new F-tag?
Well, one of the things that the surveyors are going to look into is if they find a resident has changed rooms or roommates. What they'll do is they'll either find this information out through interview or record review, and it's whether or not the facility informed the resident in advance of the change. The facility must do this in writing, and a copy of the letter should be a part of documentation provided to show that advance notice was given.
So could a surveyor cite substandard care under FTAG 559?
Yes.
And yes, how would that look? What would that look like? Can you describe that?
Yes, it could fall under substandard quality of care if it is considered widespread on the scope and severity.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. Well, I want to thank you, Jennifer, for joining us today and to our listeners as we go through all of these new FTAG reviews. I hope you found the discussion today on 559 to be beneficial for you. And I hope you join us again as we explore each of the 49 substandard quality of care FTAGs in the coming weeks. So thanks again, Jennifer, and we look forward to our next discussion.
Thank you too, Laura. I look forward to the next podcast, and next time we'll discuss F561 self-determination.
Okay, that's wonderful. That's all for now. Talk to you all soon.
Legal disclaimer. LifeCare Services LLC is not engaged in rendering legal advice. Therefore, any information provided in this podcast, although intended to be correct, is also not intended to replace or supersede the advice of your legal counsel. Also, thank you to Ben Sounds for the music provided in this podcast.